Welcome to all those joining us for the shiur in the topic of Hiskashrus Letzadiko Emes, the attachment to the true tzaddik. This is, I believe, the third shiur in this series. The author again, Reb Shmuel Horowitz, who put together this pamphlet, says that coming close to and attaching oneself to the tzaddik is the ultimate, most powerful of everything and anything a person can do in serving Hashem, and any level that a person can achieve in coming close to Hashem. And he says that it's known that after all the benefits that our Rebbe Rabbeinu Zal did for us, with the Torahs that he taught us, with the stories that he told us, and all the advice that he gave, through which a person could be zeicher to incredible heights, incredible accomplishments, it could inspire a person tremendously and motivate a person tremendously. And he said still, despite that, the most more important even than that, even than what a person gets from learning the Sforim, is the actual closeness and attaching oneself to the tzaddik, by which a person could benefit much, much more than through all the other things, even than through his advice. And he quotes the famous statement in the Gemara, HaMechubar LeToher Toher. A person who is attached to someone who is pure, which means that there is, in addition to listening to what he says and learning what he says, etc., there's this concept of a certain deep connection, which we're going to explain and speak about. And he quotes from Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Nachman in the Sefer Koich VeYoer, in the section Sichos VeSipurim, Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Nachman writes there that the truth is that every single Jew would really be required to strive to be holy and get to the kind of level that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got to. However, who can achieve that? And especially, unfortunately, due to all the challenges and difficulties that we have, unfortunately, we not only aren't we so big in the positive side, but chas v'shalom, we accumulate many negatives as a result of sins. And therefore, he says, the most important thing is to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah, which is uboi sidbok, to attach yourself. Dveikus means to make a deep attachment to Hashem. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? Hashem is fire, eish oichlehu. And the Gemara says, hidabek b'talmidei chachamim. Attach yourself to Talmidei Chachamim. And he says, therefore, we're required to come close to and attach ourselves to tzaddikim who are like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with love and joy. Bi'ahava u'besimcha. Now he's getting more specific in defining what this attachment is all about. It's about a person feeling a deep love for the tzaddik, an incredible joy regarding the closeness to the tzaddik. And he mentions that we see in Megillas Esther, when women were vying for who would be the one to become the new queen, who would be the one whom Achashverosh would select from all the different women, it says there that when Esther Hamalka's turn came, the other women wanted different perfumes, all kinds of different things to use to be able to make themselves attractive to Achashverosh. It says when it came to Esther, Loi biksha davar, she didn't ask for anything. Ki emes asher yamar Hagai. Only what Haggai said, Haggai was the person in charge there, whatever he said, that's what she was willing to do, nothing else. Meaning, again, that in terms of the relationship with the tzaddik, it's a person who tries to get to a level where you ask a person, what do you want? The answer is, I don't want anything. I want this deep connection. I want this closeness. And whatever that takes and whatever that means, that's what I want. And he mentions in chapter 2 in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal there speaks about the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a Beis HaMikdash before the Jewish people got to Eretz Yisrael as a nation. While we were in the desert, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the incredible privilege of building a temporary Beis HaMikdash that would travel with the Yidden throughout the 40 years that they were in the desert, this Mishkan. And the Gemara says, Mishkan and Mikdash are the same. And yet Rabbeinu Zal says there in Likut Imran that there's a concept of a Moir HaGodol and a Moir HaKoton, a great light and a smaller light. When Hashem first created the world, we're told that originally he created the sun and the moon equal, and then for different reasons, the moon was diminished. The light of the moon was lowered, and at first they're referred to as Shnei Ma'oiros HaGdoilim, and then right afterwards they're referred to as Hamoir HaGodol and Hamoir HaKoton, the great lantern, the large one, and the little one. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there that the Mishkan is the Moir HaKoton. The Mishkan is the Moir HaKoton. Who is the Moir HaGodol? The Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the Moir HaGodol. He's the battery. He's the one who shines light, the light of Hashem, into the Mishkan. And he is referred to just like Kaviyochel, the Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem, is referred to as a composite of all the Jewish souls. The Arizal says that the basic number of Jewish souls is 600,000. That's the number that the Torah refers to. And the Arizal says that the word Shekhinah, which means the divine spirit of Hashem, the word Shekhinah, when we spell out each letter the way we pronounce it, Shin, Shin Yud Nun, the way it's pronounced, Chaf, Chaf Pei, it's Bigimatria, Tof Resh Aleph, 601. And we know that in Gematrios, one and a thousand are the same. One is Aleph, and a thousand is Aleph. It's the same thing. So that the Shechina, the term Shechina, in the Zohar HaKadosh is many times referred to as Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish community. That is, the divine spirit of Hashem is a composite of all the souls of the entire Jewish community. The Tzaddik is also referred to as the Klolius of the holiness of the entire Jewish people. The Gemara says in several places that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered like a Rabbim. He's not considered like an individual, he's considered like a group. And it's brought that the word Moshe, the name Moshe, Mem is 40, Shin is 300, Hey is 5, 40 times 300 is 12,000, times 5 is 60,000, and the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos, 60,000 times 10 is 600,000, to show that the Tzaddik is called Shoyresh Neshamos Yisrael, or a Klolius of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, so that each and every single Jew was considered a part of the Mishkan. This Jew was a part of the table. This Jew was a part of the Aron. This Jew was a part of the Menorah. Each one was a part of all the different components that made up the Mishkan. And in the end, the Pasuk says, Vayaviyu HaMishkan El Moshe, that all of these parts, the entire Mishkan, was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayokem Moshe Es HaMishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who put up the Mishkan. He's the one who completed the Mishkan. The Zohar HaKadosh says he was the only one who knew how to really put it all together, put all the parts together. And he's the one who puts the light, who brings Hashem's light into the Mishkan, as Rabbeinu Zal there shows at the end of chapter 2 in Likut Imran, based on the Pasuk, Emor El HaKoyhanim, Rabbeinu Zal says, Lahazir HaGedoilim Al HaKtanim, that the Moir HaGodol, the great lantern, which is the Tzaddik, will shine the light into the Moir HaKoton, into the Mishkan. So again, the Mishkan is representative of all the Jewish souls. All the Jewish souls are parts of the Mishkan, and the Tzaddik is the one who puts it all together, completes. He's the Shlemus of the whole thing, and he's the source of light of the whole thing. Rabbeinu Zal says later on in chapter 4 in Likut Imran, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who really opened up the Das for Klal Yisrael. He's the one who brought us the Torah. He's the one who really enlightened the Jewish nation about Hashem, about the Torah and mitzvahs. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks there about one of the ways of coming close to the Tzaddik is seeing the face of the Tzaddik, Re'iyas Pnei HaTzaddik. So here, Reb Shmuel Horowitz adds that this term, seeing the face of the Tzaddik, is similar to what Rabbeinu Zal writes about in another chapter, in chapter 183, where he writes about the fact that the Gemara says that when the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jewish people, when they were in session, they sat in a semicircle, so that they were all able to see each other. And Rabbi Nizal points out that what does that mean, see each other? It doesn't mean just to see each other. It means that they were united with Ahava, with a deep love. A deep love. Seeing each other means like friends who always want to see each other. That kind of thing. And then Rabbi Nizal speaks further about giving tzedakah to the tzaddik. And then he speaks about the final thing, which is vidui dvarim in front of the tzaddik, which means the ability to be completely open with the tzaddik, that a person would want the tzaddik to be aware of anything and everything going on in my life, including the mistakes that I made, including all the things that I've done wrong. I need him to be aware of everything in order to be able to get the help that I need. And the tzaddik is the one who's able to undo all the damage that was done by all the sins and mistakes that I made. Rabbi Nizal explains there that when a person violates one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, then the letters of the commandment in the Torah that he violated, person steals. The Torah says, Lois signoiv, don't steal. Those letters, Lois signoiv, become rearranged and used against the person, used to harm the person. They become engraved in the bones of the person and cause harm to the person. And Rabbi Nizal goes on to show that the tzaddik is the one who has the ability, when a person is open with the tzaddik and tells the tzaddik everything that they're supposed to say, the tzaddik has the ability to remove all of those inscriptions from the bones and rearrange the letters to a form of blessing, a form, a positive form, a form that's beneficial to the person and to the whole Klal Yisrael. Afterwards, in Torah, in the fifth Torah, Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal explains the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and other prophets, other prophets. And Rabbi Nizal says that the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik Emes, is one who his Olam Haba he experiences while he's in this world. When he's doing a mitzvah, most people are doing a mitzvah with an understanding that even if I'm not enjoying this so much, even if I don't understand, but Hashem promises that there'll be reward for this in the future. The Tzaddik Emes is the one who's on a level where the reward for his mitzvah is in the mitzvah itself. He experiences Olam Haba now in this world. He doesn't have to wait. He's connected to Olam Haba so well in this world. And again, therefore, those who are attached to him are able to get a taste of that, are able to relate, to experience that also. Later on, in chapter 135 on Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal says there that the main attachment to the tzaddik is for the person to get to the level where the person loves the tzaddik completely, a complete love, ahava shlema, and therefore feels a deep attachment to the tzaddik. And Rabbi Nizal quotes the pasuk, which speaks about the relationship between David HaMelech and Yohanan, these two who were so close. The Torah describes them as the example of closeness between two human beings, as Nifleisi Ahavascha Me Ahavas Noshim, that the understanding that people have, the natural love that a man has for a woman, that the love for the tzaddik is something that exceeds that, far exceeds that. It's a much higher, deeper type of love. And Rabbi Nizal says there that when a person feels that, then the person will achieve real humility, and the person actually gets converted to become part of the tzaddik. Rabbi Nizal quotes the pasuk in the Torah which speaks about the spies going to Eretz Yisrael, and they said, Eretz oicheles yoshveha. It's a land that eats up its inhabitants, because they came there and they saw funerals, which Hashem had staged for a reason to protect them, etc., etc. But Rabbi Nizal goes on to explain there that when a person is really attached properly to a tzaddik and believes in the tzaddik completely, that person becomes literally part of the tzaddik. Just like when a person eats, Rabbi Nizal gives the example. We know that there are different levels in creation. There's plants, there's animals, and there's humans. And these are distinct levels, very different from each other. And yet, when a person eats a vegetable or a fruit, a person eats that and digests it, the fruit becomes human being. The fruit gets digested, processed in the body. It becomes part of the bloodstream, part of the person himself. The same thing is, person eats an animal, eats flesh. It becomes, Rabbeinu Zal says, that's what can happen when a person allows themselves to come close enough to the tzaddik, to want to be so connected that the tzaddik eat Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, tzaddikim yirshu eretz. Tzaddikim inherit the land. Just like Eretz Yisrael is the holiest place, the tzaddik is the holiest person. The same power that Eretz Yisrael has to eat, to digest, that those who want to be part of Eretz Yisrael become literally part of Eretz Yisrael, part of the holiness. Those who want to be part of the tzaddik become literally part of the tzaddik. We know Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos writes, when he speaks about eating truma, we have the Torah speaks about a certain portion of very holy food. When a person has crops, they're supposed to separate a certain amount, 2%, and give it to the kohen. And only a kohen is allowed to eat it. If a non-kohen eats that, he could be chayev misa bidei shamayim, a heavenly death penalty. What if the person's a rabbi? What if the person's a next-door neighbor? What if it's a cousin? Doesn't matter. The kohen is allowed to eat truma. The kohen's family, his wife and children, are allowed to eat truma. The kohen's animals, he's allowed to feed truma to his animal. You're telling me that the animal is on a higher level, the animal of a kohen is on a higher level than a Rosh Yeshiva or an Admor that lives next door that's not a kohen? The answer is, in a certain respect, yes. We see that regarding certain things, there's an advantage that the animal of the kohen has certain rights that somebody else who could have all kinds of other qualities does not have those rights. They don't share it. And the kohen throughout the Torah many times is used to represent the tzaddik. We have the famous pasuk that the Gemara quotes in Chagiga, ki sifsei kohen yishmeru das, v'Torah yevakshem ipiyu, ki malach Hashem tzvokoisu. That on the lips of the kohen are found das, knowledge of Torah, seek Torah from his mouth, because he's like a divine angel. And the Gemara says that pasuk is speaking about searching for a rabbi. When a person is searching for a rabbi, that's the pasuk that refers to him as the kohen. And he mentions that we find in the story of the seven betlers that Rabbi Nachman told, the 13th story in Sipurei Maaseiyos, he speaks about these children, a boy and a girl, that get lost in the forest. They're struggling, they run out of food, and they don't have what to eat. And they're desperate. And they cry, and suddenly a betler appears. One who appears to be very poor, very simple, and seems to have a defect. First it's a blind betler, then it's a deaf betler that appear each time and give them food to sustain them for a limited period of time, and then the betler leaves. And then a while later, these two children get to civilization, they get married, and at the Sheva Brachas, it says that when they were experiencing the joy, the tremendous joy of a wedding, they were yearning, had a deep, deep yearning, if only those betlers could be here to join in our simcha. And because they wanted this so desperately, because they had this deep yearning, the betler said, I'm here. He suddenly appeared, not only appeared, but he said, till now, I gave you a bracha, I gave you a blessing that you should be like me. Now I'm giving it to you as a gift, a wedding gift, that you should be like me. That whatever defect, it looks like I'm blind, I'm not blind, I'm blind to what you shouldn't look at. I don't see what a person doesn't need to see. I don't see the distractions that could prevent a person from being able to see Hashem, to be able to see the hand of Hashem, etc. The one who's deaf, I don't listen to all the nonsense that's being spoken about in the world. And thereby I'm able to hear the voice of Hashem that created the world in the beginning, and the voice of Hashem that continues to operate the world, and so on and so forth. But again, stressing this combination of simcha and yearning, a deep yearning. I want. What do I want? There are people that have all kinds of desires. for a person to want, I want the tzaddik, I want to get closer, I want to do everything I possibly can to get closer and closer to the tzaddik. And here he quotes a story in the Baal Shem Tov that's mentioned in the Shvachei HaBaal Shem Tov, the most authentic collection of the stories of the Baal Shem Tov, that one of his students, the Baal Shem Tov was once with one of his students, and he told the student to read Ein Yaakov, to read the stories of the Gemara. And this student read the story, and the Baal Shem Tov gave a Dvar Torah on the story that was mentioned in the Gemara. And then suddenly the student looked up, and he saw one of the students who had passed away a while ago, who had died a while ago, and he saw this person appear dressed in beautiful Shabbos clothing, and this person got terrified. He realized he's seeing someone from the other world, from the next world. And he asked the Baal Shem Tov, how was I worthy of this? How was I worthy of being able to see a neshama, see somebody that passed away already, that's no longer in this world, where it's brought that's like a level of prophecy, that's compared to nevuah. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, because you were speaking words of Torah to me, and I spoke words of Torah to you, I purified you with my words, and the connection between us became, we became like one, and therefore you were able to see. A question, didn't the Gemara mean to attach oneself to a living Talmud Chacham? We're going to have some incredible things on that topic. We may not reach it in today's shir. If not, it might be in the next shir. Now, in the next chapter, Reb Shmuel Horowitz continues, and he says once again that the concept of coming close to and attached to the tzaddik includes everything. It encompasses the entire Torah, and everything else that's in the Torah is considered to be a detail. It's a detail compared to closeness to the tzaddik, which is all-inclusive. It includes the entire Yiddishkeit of a person, and he says that's like the trunk of the tree. When you have a tree, you have the trunk of the tree, which is the most solid part, and then you have branches, all kinds of branches, thicker branches, thinner branches that come out of the tree. The trunk of the tree is closeness and attachment to the tzaddik. And he says, for example, hispoidedus, speaking to Hashem in your own words, which Rabbeinu Zal said, hispoidedus is ma'il el-yoyinu gedoilu min ha-koil, it's above everything. He said, it's true. Among all the details in Yiddishkeit, it's way, way up there. However, it's still a branch of one's attachment to the tzaddik. It's one of the branches. And one of the most important things that a person should be asking for in their hispoidedus is to be zoche to come close to the true tzaddik. So to chatzois, getting up at midnight, which the Gemara speaks about, the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about, and Rabbeinu Zal said that that's one of the main avoidas of a Jew at night, this getting up at midnight. Also, it's a branch, it's an important branch of closeness to the tzaddik. And one of the most important things that we're praying for at chatzois at midnight, we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara tells us that the passing away of tzaddikim is twice as difficult for the Jewish people as the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So when we're mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even more than that, we're mourning the loss of the tzaddikim who are no longer with us. And a person who reads Tikkun Chatzos, the Tikkun Rochel, Tikkun Leah, sees it in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this, especially in chapter 67, in the second half of Likutei Moran and in other places, that when we talk about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, again, what made the Beis HaMikdash so special was the tzaddikim, the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin HaGdol that was in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Moshe Rabbeinu who built the Mishkan, and Shlomo HaMelech who built the Beis HaMikdash. In each case, the tzaddik who put it together. And he goes on to say that therefore, since everything else in Yiddishkeit is branches of this, when a person is doing anything else in Yiddishkeit, they have to have in mind to connect it to the trunk of the tree. That all of my mitzvahs, my davening, my learning, my tzedakah, anything that I do, I want it to be with his kashrus to the tzaddik. I'm doing it in conjunction with my connection to the tzaddik. And then the mitzvah can have shleimus. Then the mitzvah can be complete and whole. Because we said everything else is in the category of moir hakoton, this lower light compared to the moon. The tzaddik is compared to the sun in this context. He gives an example, just like we find the analogy when a person puts on tefillin. There's the two parts of the tefillin. There's the tefillin shel roish and the tefillin shel yad. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likut HaLochis, in Hilchis Tefillin, Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain that the tefillin shel yad compared to the tefillin shel roish are considered like the moir hakotan to the moir hagodol. And now he makes an incredible, important statement. And he says, therefore, when it comes to every other mitzvah, when it comes to every other aspect of Yiddishkeit, a person is required to do the best they can. Do as good as he can. If you can give a lot of money, if you can give $18,000 to tzedakah, give $18,000. If you can give $18, give $18. Give what you can, each person. One person can learn 7-8 hours a day straight. Another person can learn 1 hour, if they're 1 hour is consistently. Each person is required to do the best they can, more or less, and it doesn't necessarily require mamish mesiras nefesh, putting your life on the line. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, lo yolecha hamalocha ligmoyer, you are not obligated to finish. Hashem isn't demanding that you finish, but at the same time, v'yato rishoy libocha, you have to start, you have to do. Hashem doesn't expect you to get 100. Hashem doesn't expect you to finish, but you have to do what you can. But he says, but regarding his skarvus to the tzaddik, regarding coming close to the tzaddik, and a person being willing to take on the name of the tzaddik, to be called a student of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a student of this rabbi, and thereby persons registering themselves, I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, I'm proud, I want to be part of this. I want to be considered part of this. That requires mesiras nefesh. That a person has to be willing to be ready to be moser nefesh, which means to do whatever is necessary not to be pulled away, not to be separated from the tzaddik by all kinds of obstacles. People who will speak against the tzaddik because ki hapoyresh mehatzaddik who kipoyresh mehachayim, because a person who leaves the tzaddik, it's like going off a respirator. Person who needs a respirator for oxygen, they can't live without. It's like disconnecting themselves from life. As we find the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said these exact words, that chas v'shalom, Rabbi, separating ourselves from you is disconnecting, it's stopping to breathe. And he says, and of course, that a person shouldn't chas v'shalom be embarrassed or ashamed in any way of being associated with a tzaddik. That's considered to be a terrible, terrible mistake if a person is embarrassed or ashamed of being associated with a tzaddik. Because as we mentioned earlier, we said that tzaddik is compared to the tefillin shel roish. Regarding the tefillin shel roish, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, V'ro'u kol amei ha'oretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha. The entire world will see that you have the name of Hashem upon you, and they'll respect you. They'll be afraid of you. They'll respect you. The Gemara says, Elu tefillin shebaroish. That refers to the tefillin shel roish. So for a person to know that this is something to be proud of, to know that this is an incredible privilege, and it would be chas v'shalom, an insult to Hashem or to the tzaddik, if a person chas v'shalom in any way feels embarrassed or ashamed. No matter who says anything chas v'shalom against the tzaddik or anything like that. And he mentions again that we find that in Sichai Saran, in paragraph 282, there Rabbeinu Zal says, quoting the Zohar HaKadosh, we know that one of the letters in the Aleph Beis is the letter Dalid. We know that when a person declares their emun on Hashem, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. The climax of that statement is that last word, Echad, one. Hashem is number one. He's the one and only. There's nothing, no one that compares in any way whatsoever to Hashem. That word echod, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the last letter, the Dalid, is what really defines that word, could define that word from being one extreme to the exact opposite extreme. And it's not just the letter Dalid, it's a drop of ink on the letter Dalid. We know in Hebrew lettering, you have the letter Resh. You draw the way a Resh is drawn. And if you want to turn the Resh into a Dalid, all you have to do is add a little drop of ink on top, on the right side of the Resh. You add a little drop of ink and it becomes a Dalid. The difference between Resh and Dalid is this small little item. The Zohar HaKadosh says that that little item, that Koitzei Shel Dalid, is the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is the one who defines the difference between the Resh and the Dalid. What's the difference between Resh and Dalid? If it's a Resh, then the word is Acher. Acher is a term that's used regarding idol worship. Idols are called Kel Acher in the Torah, Elokim Acherim. Whereas Hashem, faith in Hashem, is defined by that Dalit, Echod, one. One is that the term one is applied only to Hashem. And again, the Zohar HaKadosh says, who's going to make the difference? Who's going to be able to take me from one extreme to the other extreme? It's the Tzaddik. And we know that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in Likutei Moran. There's a chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal says that the furthest that a person could possibly get in moving away from Hashem is if a person decides to convert out of Judaism, to let go completely of their Yiddishkeit. That's called Shmad. Shmad means total devastation. We know that the concentration camps that the Nazis used were called Machane Hashmoda, camps of complete destruction, complete annihilation. That's the term Shmad. And the highest possible level that a Jew can reach in connecting to Hashem is called Ratzain. Ratzain means desire, goodwill. The Torah, when it speaks about all the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash and all the mitzvahs that we do, it's all l'ratzain l'fnei Hashem. Our goal is that it should be accepted with goodwill by Hashem. To appease Hashem, goodwill, that term ratzain. Rabbeinu Zal says there that the word Shmad is 344. The word Ratzain is 346. In between them, you have Moshe. Moshe is 345. Moshe is the Tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the bridge that can take the Jewish nation or any individual Jew from the lowest possible place that a person could chas v'shalom possibly hit, rock bottom, Shmad, and take the person to Ratzon, to the highest level connection to Hashem that a person can possibly achieve. We find in the case of Korach, for example, Korach, whom the Torah tells us was a pikeach, he was very smart. The Torah calls him smart. This doesn't mean in chemistry and biology. It means he knew a lot of divine wisdom. He was extremely wealthy. And with all of that, because he opposed Moshe Rabbeinu, he detached himself completely from his roots. We find that when the Torah defines the lineage of Korach, it says Korach ben Yitzhar, ben Kohos, ben Levi, and it stops there. It should have said ben Yaakov. The lineage of a Jew begins from Yaakov Avinu. It doesn't say that because Yaakov Avinu prayed. He prayed to Hashem. Anyone who will commit the sin of Korach to show such disrespect to the tzaddik should not be connected to him in any way so that they shouldn't cause damage to the source. He shouldn't be able to damage, to harm Yaakov Avinu. Any questions, please? The idea that speaking to Hashem is a branch, an attachment to the tzaddik, is the trunk of the tree, can give an impression that speaking to Hashem is a branch. An attachment to the tzaddik is the trunk, can give the impression that striving to be close to the tzaddik is more important than striving to be close to Hashem. That's if a person wants to misinterpret it. But if you want to interpret it correctly, coming close to the tzaddik is coming. That's what will bring the person closer to Hashem than hispoidus, mikvah, chatzois, eating glatt kosher, eating Italian pizza with the best hechsher, anything you want. All of those things will help you come close to Hashem. None of them are competing in terms of how much it will enable you to come close to Hashem as closeness to the tzaddik. The Baal Shem Tov said, we have the pasuk in Tehillim in Hallel, Zeh Hashar Lashem. This is the entranceway to Hashem. What is the entranceway to Hashem? Tzaddikim. That's the gateway. That's the entranceway to Hashem. Through them, Yavo Yavoi. Through them, a person can come close to Hashem. The tzaddik is in a position to bring a person, to make a person cover more distance and to help remove sins from the person and to help change the whole person's neshama, to help change the whole person's way of life than anything else and everything else. Question.
How would you define, in practical terms, closeness to the tzaddik?
We spoke a little bit about it so far. We mentioned a deep love, acquiring, like, there are people that love, you ask a person, what do you like? What do you like? What do you love? People have lists of thousands of, I like a beautiful house, I like a racehorse, I like chocolate, there's a long list. I love my wife and children, I love my parents. The love for the tzaddik should achieve, reach the highest levels, should be able to exceed even the love that the Torah defines as one of the most powerful loves in existence, the love that a man feels towards a woman, that this should exceed that even. A deep love, a deep joy, a deep respect, and we're going to see more details on this as we go along.
No, sir.
Yes. Yes.
Was the original, like it says in the beginning of Perkei Avos, you know, in terms of the tradition, was the Judaism itself, from Moshe Rabbeinu on, it was intended that every person have a tzaddik. Is that correct? That this is how it was intended to be?
Most definitely. The first mission in Pirkei Avos, like you said, defines a chain that goes from beginning on. When the Jews came out of Egypt, when Hashem showed us all the miracles at the splitting of the Red Sea, it says they believed in Hashem and his servant Moshe Rabbeinu. And at the end of after the Ten Commandments, Hashem says, you know why I did all of this? So that they'll believe in me, v'gam becho ya'aminu lo'olam. And also they will believe in you eternally, forever. And the rabbis point out, the v'gam, and also means not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but also the tzaddikim in each and every single generation. That again, the Ten Commandments, all of that was about this faith in tzaddikim. I've mentioned in the past, I believe his yahrzeit was recently, the Shema Kodesh yahrzeit was recent. No, it was recently, but we have Erev Shavuot this week. It's this week, okay? Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I think, is not the yahrzeit, Sivan. Is not the yahrzeit, it's a special day when the Shema Kodesh said to recite his tefillah. My Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld pointed out that we know that when Hashem gave the Aseres HaDibrois, Hashem only gave us the first two. Anoichi and Lo Yielecha, the Gemara says, Mipi Gvura Nemra. Those two were said by Hashem. And then it says all the Jewish souls left them. Their souls left them. And Klal Yisrael had to go through a Trias HaNesim. Hashem had to bring us back to life. And then the Jews said to Hashem, the Jews said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu, please, none of that. We can't handle that anymore. You speak to us so that we'll be able to live, we'll be able to survive this Yiddishkeit. And the Shulah Kodesh says, so a person would say, you can't, with all due respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't compare what we heard directly from Hashem to what we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And the Shulah Kodesh says, wrong. The Gemara uses the wording mipi gvura. The first two commandments were given to us from the great, the Almighty. The words mipi gvura are bigematria Moshe, to show that Hashem wants us to know that what we heard from him, those first two commandments, and the other eight commandments, or the other 611 commandments, Torah tzivalanu Moshe. The word Torah is 611. 611 commandments were given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. That as far as we're concerned, it's exactly the same. Again, the Mishnah says, Moira Rabbah kemoira Shamayim. The respect for your rabbi should be like the respect for Hashem. How could you say such a thing? How could you? The answer is that's exactly what the Gemara says. I'm quoting word for word, verbatim. Moira Rabbah, the Gemara isn't afraid to say it. And the Gemara says that one of the rabbis, Shimon Hamsuni, he saw the word S written all over the Torah. There might be a thousand times that the word S appears in the Torah. And he was able to show that whenever the Torah uses the word S, usually if you would have left out the word S, it would have been just the same. It would have had the same meaning in Hebrew. So he would show that S comes to include another item. It's coming to include something. Until he came up to one pasuk, and he was stumped. There's a pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Respect Hashem. There's an S there. Now, what are you going to add to that? Who are you going to add to that? What are you going to add to that? So the Gemara says, Shimon HaMsuni said, I give up. And just like I don't know the answer, if I don't know the answer to this one, then I can't really take credit for all the other ones. And the Gemara says, until Rabbi Akiva came along, and Rabbi Akiva said, I'll tell you what the S is over there. Es l'rabois talmidei chachamim. The word S there comes to include talmidei chachamim. That they are in the same category, the same pasuk, as Hashem Elokecha Tira. They go together. The Zohar HaKadosh takes it a step further. The Zohar HaKadosh, all the way at the end, tells us that, let me show you, who Hashem stands up for, whose kavod Hashem stands up for more, his own kavod or the kavod of the tzaddik. We know that the final mission in Pirkei Avos says that the whole purpose of creation is Hashem's kavod. Lichvoidi berosiv yitzatev afasisiv. All the different worlds Hashem says I created for my kavod. So Hashem takes his own kavod pretty serious. The Zohar Kodesh says, however, there's something that's more serious than Hashem's kavod. The Zohar Kodesh says that Yerovam ben Nevat was a very learned, very smart, a giant in Torah, super giant. And Yerovam ben Nevat became an idol worshiper. He went off the path, became an idol worshiper, and misled thousands of Jews and coerced and forced the Jews into idol worship. And at one point, he was standing by an altar, bringing a sacrifice to an idol, and Hashem sent the Navi, Idai HaNavi, deliver a message to him that his end is coming close, that I'm pretty fed up with what Yerovam ben Nevat is doing, and if he doesn't stop, he's going to be in serious trouble. It says that Idai HaNavi came and he started speaking, and Yerovam ben Nevat lifted up his hand to smack him. And as soon as he did it, his hand, Hashem made a miracle, his hand shriveled up and became a small piece of skin attached to his shoulder. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbi Shimon Choy says, look at this. He's standing there bringing a sacrifice to an idol. The Gemara says, Kol zman she'yesh avodah zarah ba'olam, charoy nafalim. That Hashem gets very angry when there's idol worship. But there's still some control there. Hashem doesn't pull the trigger. Hashem was patient. The second he lifted up his hand to a tzaddik, instant response by Hashem, real time, immediate punishment on the spot. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, from here we see that Hashem is more particular about the respect for tzaddikim than respect for himself.
Why is that, or what do we learn from that? What's the practice?
The Gemara says in Moed Katan, page 16, that Hashem rules over everything. Hashem is the boss. All for the boss, the boss. Mm-hmm. Hashem says, who's my boss? Who is my boss? And Hashem says, tzaddik. Umi moishel bi, tzaddik. As the pasuk says, tzaddik moishel beyiras elokim. What does that mean exactly? The Gemara says, I'll tell you what it means. That Hashem issues a decree, and he allows the tzaddik, he gives the tzaddik the authority to nullify the decree, to override the decree. We have the famous story in the Zohar Kodesh that I've mentioned many times, but a chance to tell about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal. The Zohar Kodesh says that what in beginning of Parshas, the Zohar Chodesh, in beginning of Parshas Vayera, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal was with his son, and they were looked outside, and suddenly it got dark outside, in the middle of the day. And they said, something's up, let's see what's going on. And sure enough, they saw an angel, and they summoned him. Rabbi Shimon Yochai had the authority to say, come here, you. And he said, what's going on? And he said, Hashem sent me to destroy the world because there have to be 30 tzaddikim of a certain caliber in order for the world to continue to exist. The pasuk says, by Avram Avinu, va'Avram hoyo yihye legoi godoil, yihye is 30, so there has to be a certain number of 30 tzaddikim of a certain caliber. And therefore Hashem said, I should destroy the world. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal said, okay, mission canceled. Go home. I just canceled your mission. The Malach went back up to heaven, and Hashem says, I'm quoting the story in the Zohar Kodesh. And Hashem says, what are you doing here? I sent you down to destroy the world. I says, I did go down, but Rabbi Shimon bar Yochezal told me to leave. So I came back up. Hashem says, go back down and do what I said, destroy. Goes back down, Rabbi Shimon sees him again and says, now we're going to get serious. Now I'm warning you, if you don't go back up, you won't be able to go back up. There were angels that came down to this earth and they got stuck. They couldn't get back up. You're going to have the same problem. And regarding what you said about the 30 tzaddikim, I have a response to that. That we find by Sodom, Hashem also wanted to make mass destruction, and Avram Avinu was able to get it down to 10. So 10 tzaddikim should also be enough. And then besides that, and if there aren't 10, there's another pasuk which says, Al pishnayim eidin yokum davar, that two have the ability to establish davar. And what is davar? Davar is the world. Bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu b'rotzim. So two tzaddikim of a certain caliber should be enough to support the world, my son and I. And if that's not good enough, there's another pasuk that says, v'tzaddik yesoid oilon, that there's one tzaddik alone, there is a tzaddik who is the foundation of the entire world. He can serve as the foundation, he can support the entire world. So leave or else. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Malach left and went up, and Hashem says, he won. And it's about him. And a voice came from heaven and said, it's about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that the pasuk says, Retzoin Yereyov Ya'aseh, that Hashem fulfills the will of those whom respect him. This is the level of respect and love and seriousness that the Torah teaches us. And in terms of how critical a part of authentic Judaism this is. This isn't an addition. This isn't midas hachasidus. This isn't negotiable in any way whatsoever. This is one of the most critical, and Reb Shmuel Horowitz is saying possibly the most critical aspect of Yiddishkeit. Because you can be a Yeravam ben Avot, you can be a giant in Torah, you can be a Koirach, leader of Shevet Le, giant, and everything. And just this one little thing is missing. Sorry, we're in Sfira Soimer now. We see that Rabbi Akiva had students, 24,000 students. And the Gemara says they were the students of Rabbi Akiva. Need I say more? They have to see their resume to know how great these people were. The Gemara says there was one area that they fell short in terms of the mutual respect for each other. Hashem said, out. A plague, 33 days, 24,000 funerals, 24,000 rabbis. So we see that every mitzvah is not this. It's not all the, not everything is equal, not all is the same. There are certain things that can outweigh everything else. Person can do 100 things right, and just this one thing I got wrong, sorry, you picked the wrong thing. You picked the wrong thing to get wrong, unfortunately. Any questions?
If Hashem sends the tzaddik here to this earth to do a work, if we don't respect the tzaddik that's here on this earth to do the work, then in reality, we're not even respecting Hashem.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a concept that's stressed throughout all the Sfarim of the Baal Shem Tov, all the Tzadikim. That again, a disrespect to the Tzadik is a disrespect. And we see how what Hashem's response was to Moshe Rabbeinu. We see Aharon HaKohen and Miriam HaNeviah, who was so beloved and so good and so close. And when they mistakenly thought that they were similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Your prophets, great. You're millions, he's trillions. He's in a completely different league than you. Completely different. And we're going to come to that. We're going to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to speak about Yehoshua. We're going to have much more on this. Any other questions?
I do want to do a follow-up question because I want your input on this. What does Rabbi Nachman have to say, or the Zohar, concerning judgment when one comes against the tzaddik?
The answer is, it would seem, very serious judgment. That Hashem takes this very seriously. We see in these examples. That Hashem is quick to judge. Usually one of the first Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos says, Havi Mesunim Badin, be slow in judging. And we know that one of Hashem's attributes is Erech HaPayim. One of the attributes that defines Hashem's kindness is patient. And it says there, Erech HaPayim Letzadikim. Apayim is plural. So the Gemara says Hashem is patient with Tzadikim and Hashem is patient with Rishoim. Except, there's an exception. And I just gave that exception. I gave the example of Ido Anovi, that when it came, when Yerovam was bringing a sacrifice to idols, Hashem was patient. Maybe he'll do tshuva. Maybe, maybe. The second he crossed that line of trying to attack a tzaddik, instant response. No patience, no waiting, no judging faith. None of that. None of that. We'll hold it over here for now. We still have some very, very significant things that Reb Shmuel Horowitz is going to explain regarding this topic of closeness to the tzaddik. And then there are some letters, personal letters, that he wrote to people on this topic, where he goes into even more detail in clarifying this topic. We should be zeche to want to come close to Hashem and to know that one of the things that can help us most in coming close to Hashem is coming close to the true tzaddikim, to the true tzaddik, to the true tzaddikim. Should be zeche that they should help to bring about. We know that we speak about redemption. We speak about the Geulas Mitzrayim, the Jews being taken out of Egypt, is called the Geulas Moshe. Everyone knows that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who took us out of Egypt. The Geula, the miracle of Hanukkah, is called Geulas Matisyahu. There was the Torah tells us that there was a specific tzaddik and his family that challenged the Greeks and defeated the Greeks. And in their merit, we have this incredible holiday of Hanukkah. The holiday of Purim, Geulas Mordechai, Mordechai and Esther, who again, at a time when it looked like the most powerful forces of evil were domineering and were going to succeed, they were very close to succeeding, but the tzaddik, Mordechai HaTzaddik, Esther HaMalka, were able to turn it around completely, to turn around this total defeat into an unbelievable success, the holiday of Purim. And now we're waiting for the Geulas Moshiach, the redemption of the ultimate tzaddik, Moshiach, that this Gimel Mem in each case, there's a pasuk, V'af gam zois, b'hiyoisam b'eretz oveyim. And also this, Hashem says, when the Jews will be in the land of their enemies, I'll never forget them. I'll never forget them. They'll always be the tzaddik who will eventually bring about the complete success of Klal Yisrael and the complete downfall of all of our enemies. Question in the chat. Can we say that in today's days, having a Rebbe, like one from one's yeshiva or a mentor of some sort, is accomplishing the same idea as this? What we say, having a connection to a tzaddik? The answer is, we're going to speak more about this. We're going to be speaking more about this. It's not that simple. There are rabbis There's a concept of a moira derech, somebody who gives someone guidance, which is something very, very important. But there's also this concept of a unique tzaddik, someone of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and we'll speak more about that, Mitzvah Shem. And both are extremely important.